from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in history, My Indonesia, news in brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to sing at the 2018 Indonesian Harmony Concert. House Speaker Bambang Susatyo appeals for the government to improve protection of migrant workers. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo is going to participate in singing at the 2018 Indonesian Harmony Concert to be held at the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, Senayan in Jakarta on August 5th. In a press release received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday, the 2018 Indonesia Harmony Concert also commemorates the 73rd Indonesian Independence Day. As many as 34 state and private universities from 34 provinces and representatives of students who are pursuing their education abroad will sing together with President Joko Widodo. Adia Mass is the biggest mass orchestra conductor this year. The band is designated by the 2018 Indonesian Harmony Team and supported by Minister of Representatives and a number of representatives of friendly countries. In addition to the Sun of Indonesia Raya, several national songs such as Garuda Pancasila, Rayuan Pulau Kelapa, and Padamu Negeri will also be sung. Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR Bambang Susatyo appeals for the government to improve the protection of Indonesian migrant workers who work overseas. Because there are quite a number of people who have problems, relevant minister and institution must seriously supervise the Indonesian migrant workers starting from the departure until arrival abroad. This was penned by Speaker Bambang Susatyo in his written statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday. He responded to data from the East Indonesian Women's Network, JPIT, which announced the number of migrant workers having problems and died. JPIT data states that there are 273 migrant workers from East Nusa Tenggara and TT who have died in foreign countries over the last 5 years. The causes of death vary, such as boat accidents, sinking boats, mistreatment by employers, traffic accident, illness, and suicide. Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin praised the Rama Agung Village in North Bengkulu Regency as a religious harmony village that can be exemplified by other community groups. Residents of Rama Agung Village embrace different religions, Islam, Catholicism, Protestantism, Hinduism, and Buddhism. However, they agreed to maintain harmony and live peacefully side by side in diversity. This was stated by Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin when he declared the village as a village of religious harmony in the Hall of Bengkulu City Hajj Dormitory on Friday. During a walking visit to Bengkulu, Minister Lukman also appreciated the efforts of instructors and religious leaders to maintain and care for interreligious harmony. He was impressed by the agreement declaration of refusing radicalism, hoax, and hate speech read by religious leaders. The declaration contained a commitment to always maintain peace, harmony, brotherhood, and interreligious justice, create a cool and harmonious atmosphere, maintain diversity and differences with mutual respect, reject all forms of intimidation, coercion, and religion or belief, reject violence and radicalization in the name of religion and threaten interreligious divisions. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Head of the Presidential State Office, Muldoko, said that international community and friendly countries were amazed by the democracy that has been carried out in Indonesia. Muldoko revealed the impression when attending the Open Government Partnership OGP Global Summit in Georgia some time ago, representing President Joko Widodo. On the occasion, Muldoko told about the success of Indonesia in holding simultaneous regional election in 171 regions. In his written statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday, he remarked that the current political temperature in Indonesia might increase along with the registration of candidates for president and vice president 2019-2024 for August 4 until 10. The maturity of Indonesian democracy, which becomes the world attention, will now be tested. So far, he said, democracy in Indonesia has been considered to be quite mature, because there is no horizontal conflict that arises out of competition between each political stronghold is quite tight. Therefore, he hopes that Indonesian achievement can be an example for other countries in the world, especially in terms of conduciveness during the election implementation process. Education has an important role to encourage the role of women at the digital economic era. By opening access for women in education, it is expected to open opportunity for women in the new economy. This was stated by Ispestato Minister of National Development Planning, Amalia Adininggar Widyasanti, at the Seminar of Women's Participation for Economic Inclusiveness in Surabaya recently. She proposed for the initiative for women's school in villages to get access towards economic activity and provide creative economy training through understanding communication instrument with current communication instrument for household. She also hoped that there will be increasing of women participation in the field that previously were mastered by the men and related to economic digital in the future, such as science, technology, or math. At the seminar, CEO of Asian Development for Southeast Asia, Kawawaki, was also present at the seminar. Minister of Marine and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti, as quoted by Antara News Agency on Friday, said that Indonesia would continue to act firmly against illegal fishing in its waters. Indonesia will remain firm and would not compromise with current of illegal fishing. She also stated that illegal fishing in any form is a violation of the sovereignty of a country, and Indonesia is strongly against it. In addition, the Indonesian government has adopted a tough policy against illegal fishing, exploding more than 300 foreign fishing ships found illegally operating in Indonesian waters over the past 4 years. The policy succeeded in deterring foreign fishing vessels from operating illegally in Indonesian waters. The last item, Mayor of Arlington, Texas, Jeff Williams, attended and supported the promotion of 2019 Indonesian Trade Expo carried out by Indonesian Consulate General in Houston at the 17th Asian Business held by the U.S. Pan-Asian American Chamber of Commerce Southwest in Arlington, Texas on August 2, 2018. At this expo, Indonesia was honored as a featuring country. In addition to promoting the Trade Expo Indonesia 2018, the Indonesian pavilion, named Indonesian Business Sound, displays examples of Indonesian products such as coffee, batik, weaving, jewelry, handicraft, shoes, to organic food products and instant herbs. Several diaspora entrepreneurs from Indonesia, members of American Southeastern Central U.S. Chamber of Commerce, participated in exhibiting the products. Pavilion Indonesia also promotes the beauty of Indonesian tourism destination with the theme Marine Tourism. This tourism promotion involves travel service providers belonging to Indonesian diaspora who provide tour packages to Indonesia. Mayor of Arlington, Jeff Williams, both at the opening and the Asian Business Expo and at the dinner, expressed appreciation for Indonesian participation in this event, and hoped that Indonesia and Arlington business people could increase investment, trade, and education cooperation. Even he expressed his desire to visit Indonesia by bringing trade mission and establishing sister city cooperation with one of the cities in Indonesia. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Thank you.
across the country. Unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
This is RRI VOI with news from across the country that brings interesting information from across Indonesia in a week. The first news came from Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. The head of Agriculture and Food Department of Gunung Kidul, Insinyur Bambang Wisnu Broto, representing the region of Gunung Kidul with some other parties, carried out the 42-hectare plantation acceleration movement on last Sunday. During the paddy plantation movement, the head of Agriculture Department of Gunung Kidul told that the potential of rice field in Gunung Kidul encompassed up to 8,000 hectares. The target of the Luas Tambah Tanam program, or known also as the Extensive and Additional Plantation program, for the period of April to September 2018, almost hit 2,000. However, the accomplishment of the Extensive and Additional Plantation program, or LTT program, from July until present, approximately still only reached 40%. Insinyur Bambang Wisnu and the head of Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology of Jakarta, or BPPT Yogyakarta, expected the target of the extensive and additional plantation program to be fulfilled and even will achieve beyond the target, that is around 150%. Governor Anies Baswedan officially inaugurated the Green Open Space in Bull Square, Central Jakarta, which was revitalized on Wednesday night. Governor Anies Baswedan said that it was necessary to carry out revitalization in Lapangan Banteng, or Bull Square. The square marked significance in Indonesian nation's history. Around 1632 AD, the square was named Lapangan Pavilion or Pavilion Square. After the War of Napoleon involving Germany and England, the square's name was changed into Lapangan Singa or Lion Square. Then it was changed into Lapangan Banteng or Bull Square after the independence of Indonesia. Governor Anies Baswedan hoped the square will facilitate all citizens of Jakarta to establish interaction. Governor Anies Baswedan believed the programs that have been designed for the revitalization of Lapangan Banteng can support the realization of sports, arts, and cultural events in the square. According to him, Lapangan Banteng can be one of the main icons in Jakarta and Indonesia. Governor Anies Baswedan further said that every citizen of Jakarta has the equal right to enjoy Lapangan Banteng or Bull Square. Last news came from Madiun, East Java. The Archaeological Office of Yogyakarta conducted another excavation at Ngurawan site located in Ngurawan Village, a part of Palopo Village, Dolopo District, Madiun Regency, East Java. Head of research team of Ngurawan site, Rita Istari, said on last Sunday that the excavation was carried out from July 12th until 25, 2018. The excavation was still conducted in a house owned by Gatot Soeharto. Rita Istari explained that she and her team of 10 members still could not find any clue about the historical artifacts of Gelang-Gelang Kingdom until the last day of the excavation. She and her team concluded that the location of the excavation actually used to be a residence and not a structure of kingdom building. It was proven by the remaining shape of the building's foundation that resembled to normal houses. Therefore, Rita and her team plan to carry out more excavations in other locations on the next research. Unfortunately, they still could not make sure the exact time. As it is known, the research and excavation were conducted by the Archaeological Department of Yogyakarta after local residents frequently found antiquities and fragments believed to be archaeological remains. Some of the antiquities that were believed to be the remaining of the Gelang-Gelang Kingdom included umpak, yoni, antique earthenware, doorstep, relief of panel, and jobong sumuran, better known as a well whose border was composed from earthenware. Surrounding the location of the findings, there were also statue of Nandi or cow, statue of goddess Parwati, Jaladuwara or waterways, and a miniature of temple. The findings are now showcased in a small museum made by the owner of the land, thus visitors can enjoy them. That was news from across the country.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. While listener, we start for an event on 4th August about Dutch military aggression want. The Dutch military aggression want occurred after Dutch obeyed the UN Security Council resolution to end military aggression to Indonesia. Through the Governor General of the Dutch East Indies, Van Moot, the Dutch government issued an announcement of a ceasefire that took event on August 4, 1947, starting at 12 p.m. The Indonesian government warmly welcomed this ceasefire decision. We turn to the final occurred on 4 August 1992, Indonesian continent grabbed gold medal in Olympic. Indonesian continent first grabbed gold medal in Barcelona Olympic 1992 after badminton player Susi Susanti won women's single badminton and Alan Budi Kusuma won men's single badminton. This became the first time for badminton to compete as official branch in Olympic. At the final badminton game, Alan Budi Kusuma succeeded to conquer Ardi Wiranata as his partner at Indonesian badminton with the score 15-12, 18-13. Several hours after Alan got gold medal, Indonesia won again gold medal by Susi Susanti. She defeated Bang Soo-hyun from South Korean single badminton player with the score 5-11, 11-5 and 11-3. We end today in history with the Van Atvonis space launch. Atvonis is the vehicle of non-crewman space of National Aeronautics and Space Administration NASA launched to Mars planet under the program of Mars Scout. Mars is the fourth closest planet from the Sun. Atvonis had mission to find out nature around it, which was suitable to microorganism life in Mars, and search the water history in the planet. The vehicle was launched on 4 of August 2007 and landed in Mars on 25 May 2008. By 25 of June 2008, NASA assured the invention of ice in Mars after finding out the white chunk in the ditch dug by Atvonis landing plane and saw the substance was melted. Atvonis was recorded as the sixth landing vehicle in Mars and the first landing in polar region in Mars. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia, which today is on Qatar investment in Indonesian tourism. Qatar invested $500 million for tourism development in Indonesia, especially in five priority tourist destinations.
DA, Lake Toba, Banyuwangi, Labuan Bajo, Borobudur, and Mandalika. The commitment was stated in an agreement signed by the CEO of Qatar Investment Authority, Sheikh Abdullah bin Mohammed bin Saud Al Thani, with Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, in Jakarta on Wednesday. After signing the agreement, Minister Luhut said, as a first step, Qatar would build a 5-star hotel in Mandalika, West Nusa Tenggara Province. Meanwhile, the Qatar Investment Authority Chief Executive Officer Sheikh Abdullah bin Mohammed bin Saud Al Thani said the Qatari government through the Qatar Investment Authority is ready to spend large enough fund to invest in 10 tourist destinations in Indonesia called New Bali. According to Sheikh Abdullah, whatever the amount is, Qatar will provide for the 10 Indonesian tourist destinations. Sheikh Abdullah added that the unlimited investment cost has been prepared by the Qatar Investment Authority since the signing of the agreement is finalized. For that reason, there is no definite period of time regarding the investment in the 10 New Bali. This includes the construction of hotels and also supporting infrastructure in the area of new destinations proclaimed by the government. Sheikh Abdullah bin Mohammed bin Saud placed great expectation on the commitment of the cooperation. He said that Indonesia's plan to build and develop its tourism industry was an attractive opportunity for Qatar to strengthen the country's investment portfolio throughout the world, especially in the tourism sector. Sheikh Abdullah hopes to work with Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs to identify and develop projects that will increasingly make Indonesia one of the world's major tourist destinations. In addition to investment commitments in tourism, the Middle East country wants to invest in agriculture and fisheries in Central Kalimantan. Qatar is also interested in opening direct flights to Banda Aceh, as well as building aquaculture in Sabang. From the defense sector, Qatar also expressed a desire to invest in the construction of ships, rubber boots for special forces, to bullet making. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on Qatar investment in Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo is going to participate in singing at the 2018 Indonesia Harmony Concert to be held at the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, Senayan, in Jakarta, August 5th. Speaker of the House of the Representatives, DPR, Bambang Susatyo, appeals for the government to improve the protection of Indonesian migrant workers who work overseas, because there are quite a number of people who had problems. Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin praised the Ramagun village in North Bengkulu Regency as a religious harmony village that can be exemplified by other community groups. Residents of Ramagun village embrace different religions, Islam, Catholicism, Protestantism, Hinduism, and Buddhism. Head of the Presidential Staff Office, Muldoko, said that international community and friendly countries were amazed by the democracy that has been carried out in Indonesia. Education has a major role to encourage the rule of women at the digital economy era. By opening access for women in education is expected to open opportunity for women in the new economy. This was stated by expert staff of Minister of National Development Planning, Amalia Adiningar Widyasanti, at the seminar of women's participation for economic inclusion meet in Surabaya recently. Minister of Marine and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti, escorted by Antara News Agency on Friday, said that Indonesia would continue to act firmly against illegal fishing in its waters. Mayor of Arlington, Texas, Jeff Williams, attended and supported the promotion of 2018 Indonesia Trade Expo carried out by Indonesian Consulate General in Houston at the 17th Asian Business Expo held by the U.S. Pan-Asian American Chamber of Commerce Southwest in Arlington, Texas on August 2, 2018. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Kuatkan hatimu, berikan semangatmu tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema, maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik. Show the world you're as bright as the sun. We deserve to be the one, and fight your fears, come on. Don't waste your time, raise the energy you shine.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce Machi Sili Beach in Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned! listener, West Nusa Tenggara, NTB, has many attractive tourism objects, especially beautiful beaches with white sand. At this moment, we are going to introduce one of the famous beaches, Machi Sili Beach, which is located in boundary of Sumbawa, Dompu, in Tarano. Machi Sili is actually a name of two beaches. They are Machi Beach and Sili Beach. Because their location is near, so their names are often combined. Listener, the two beaches can be reached by land transportation for 6 hours from Sumbawa Besar. The beaches are so famous as the surfing place, and Dompu annually holds surfing competition for world level. The high wave in Machi Beach can be used as the surfing place, but this can be enjoyed from May until November to do the surfing. The peak of the wave is in August. Listener, the beauty of the beaches in Sumbawa deserves to get the thumbs up. On the journey to Machi Sili in Tarano, Sumbawa, we can enjoy the beautiful nature and various kinds of birds and other wild animals. We can also see various kinds of animals such as green sea turtle. Listener, the location of Machi Sili Beach is far enough. Moreover, the location of Sumbawa, which is in the east of Lombok, makes fewer tourists to visit the place. Usually, the people who visit Machi Sili Beach are the surfing lovers. Indeed, the beaches in Sumbawa are really famous to serve the surfers. Listener, although its location is far enough, Machi Sili Beach keeps beautifying itself. Around this area, we can find good hotels, resorts, and other facilities. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Machi Sili Beach. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. I'm Putri Safitiradela. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, environment, and also technology and lifestyle. In this edition, I will present information on diversification of seed, skin, and meat of salak or salaka or kersikan snake fruit. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at www.voinews.id. Salaka, zalaka, or better known as salak or snake fruit, is of palm species that are widely cultivated on the islands of Java, Sumatra, and Bali. In addition to Indonesia, zalaka fruit is also cultivated in Thailand and Malaysia. In English, salak fruit is called snake fruit because the skin is similar to snake scales. Not only the fruit flesh, but other parts of the salaka fruit, such as seeds and skin, also have many uses. Five students of Brawijaya University in Malang, East Java, namely Luki Wiratama Bagas Teja Kusuma, Mariatul Kiptiah, Hoirotus Syadiah Ramadhani, and Halil Milad Fadila, under the guidance of Yusuf Hendrawan, PhD, came up with a concept on tree diversification product-based smart program as a sustainable cycle of snake fruit for highly entrepreneurs in women's empowerment PKK in Kersikan Village, Pasuruan Regency. This concept is a diversification program of snake fruit seeds, fruit, and tree bark with the aim of optimizing the potential of salak fruit in Kersikan Village. The program was conducted because the production of salak in Kersikan is considered to be quite high, but has not been utilized optimally. Kersikan Village, located in Gondang Wetan sub-district Pasuruan Regency, has a land area of about 22 hectares with a salaka production reaching 7.3 tons in one harvest. The selling value of the salak salaka fruit is quite low, which is only around 5,000 rupiah per kilogram, and will be lower along with the fruit quality. The low price of this sale is also caused by the characteristic sour taste of Kersikan snake fruit. Besides that, the high water content makes the shelf life of salak Kersikan short and quickly becomes rotten. This program is aimed at PKK members in Desa Kersikan, given the large number of women in the productive age range in Desa Kersikan. Almost half of the Kersikan Village residents are women, namely girls and mothers of productive age with an age range of 15 to 64 years. In this program, Kersikan salak fruits are used as salak dates, salak bark is used as kokoala or kombucha, and the seeds are made into biala coffee. This program is expected to help increase the sale value of Kersikan salak. In addition, this program can also help extend the shelf life of Kersikan salak and help improve people's welfare. Well, that was miscellany on diversification of seed, skin, and meat of Kersikan salak or snake fruit. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll introduce you 420. A song entitled Kita Pasti Tua is part of the newest album of 420 entitled Ego dan Fungsi Otak. The lyric of Kita Pasti Tua reminds young generation that someday they will become old. All power and enchantment when they are young will be vanished. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Kita Pasti Tua.
Yeah. Ini cerita ketika tulang mulai menua, masih mungkin ada hasrat yang menggebu-gebu, berkumpul dan bernyanyi seperti dulu. Wajah tampanku keriput dan badanku membungkuk, rasa ingin tak percaya. Kini ku menua, tak menggoda layaknya saat muda.
Awas nanti tua, kita pasti tua.
Lemah dan tanpa tenaga, mulai rentan berkelana. Di balik rambut putihku, wajah tampanku keriput dan badanku membungkuk, rasa ingin tak percaya. Kini ku telah menua, tak menggoda layaknya saat muda.
Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Kita Pasti Tua, sung by 420. The establishment of 420 began from Tolerance Association of 420, which was established in 2010. Thus, in 2014, The founders of the 420, or in English 420, wanted the association to have more meanings. So, they established 420 with its personnel, Ari, Nui, and Roots. Listener, for the next, we present the song which invites listener to be human and to use heart in this world that is full of ambition and madness over material. Let's listen to the next song entitled Zona Nyaman, sung by 420.
Pagi ke pagi ku terjebak di dalam ambisi, seperti orang-orang berdasi yang gila materi. Rasa bosan membukakan jalan mencari peran. Keluarlah dari zona nyaman. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah bekerja bersama hati. Kita ini insan, bukan seekor sapi. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah membiru, berkarya bersama hati. Ekoku merangkul orang-orang yang mulai sejiwa denganku. Kebeeman membukakan jalan mencari teman. Bergeraklah dari zona nyaman. Seekor sapi. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah membiru, berkarya bersama hati.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about 420. Generally, 420 has pop and folk genre. The lyrics of their songs often have the themes of pluralism, tolerance, or existentialism. Combination of arrangement of the song, which is good, and also lyric which is full of meaning, makes 420 being loved either by members of Association of 420 or lovers of indie Indonesian music. Listener, for the next, we will present the song entitled Kusut, accompanied by acoustic guitar and sound of rain. Kusut's song is screaming of someone's heart that is just left by his lover. But most of listeners of Indonesian music consider that Kusut's song is someone's struggle to leave a thing which has been so tempting so far and also hurt him. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kusut, sung by 420.
Tolong jauhkan nafsuku dari pesona awalmu. Aku terjangkit dan sakit, terjebak di ruang sempit, membiru indraku, susah payahku melepasmu. Menjamahku tanpa ragamu di sampingku. Mungkin bukanlah wujudmu ranjang ternyaman bagiku. Henti bergumam hati, cabutlah biar tak kusut. Terlihatku palsu tanpa rasamu menjamahku, tanpa ragamu di sampingku, tanpa eratmu menggenggamku, tanpa rahmu lagi.
Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Diam Diam Kubawa. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Lembayung senja, lembayung senja, lembayung senja.
Sendu di akhir tahunku ingin berteduh, di manakah itu biru telah menungguku ingin berjumpa di ranjang pasirmu. Diam-diam ku bawa kamu, yang penting ku punya satu lembang temanku, nada yang mendayu sayupkan mataku, manjakan penatku. Lembang temanku, nada yang mendayu sayupkan mataku, manjakan penatku. Terkuras ideku setahun penuh liburanku, tolong jangan ganggu. Biru telah menungguku, oh, ingin berjumpa di ranjang pasirmu. Diam-diam ku bawa kamu, yang penting ku punya satu lembayung temanku, nada yang mendayu sayupkan mataku, manjakan penatku. Lembayung temanku, nada yang mendayu sayupkan mataku, manjakan penatku. Terkuras ideku setahun penuh liburanku, tolong jangan ganggu. Jangan ganggu.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.